Well, it's a massive honor to have Henry Diltz and Patty Boyd here in the studio with me. They're in town for tonight's Behind the Lens show at the Kessler. What they're going to do, they're going to tell the stories of some of the images that define rock and roll's most iconic and historic moments. Now, chances are, if you dig into your record collection, you're already acquainted with Henry Diltz's work because he shot hundreds of album covers, including the cover of Morrison Hotel for the Doors, as well as that very first cover for Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young's album. And he was right there on stage when Jimi Hendrix played at Woodstock. And chances are, if you're a fan of the Beatles or Eric Clapton, you're well acquainted with Patty Boyd. She's the woman who drove rock and roll royalty to distraction and inspired a multitude of classics like Something in Layla, but she's got her own body of work. And that includes photographs of the quieter, more meditative moments with her first husband, George Harrison, and her second husband, Eric Clapton. And also lots of really beautiful photographs of her extensive travels. And I've got to say, Patty, I would love to see your stamp collections and your passport.
Oh, yes. No, it's getting quite full.
But, you know, Henry, you were based in L.A., Laurel Canyon, and Patty based out of London. And they were two of the cities that just happened to be the center of the universe, so to speak, musically speaking. And did your paths ever cross back in those days?
No, not until our paths crossed the first time at the Morrison Hotel Gallery, which is a gallery in New York and L.A. that I own with some friends. And Patty had a show there, and we met and became good friends.
Yeah, we did. And remain so.
So far.
So far, so good.
How did the Behind the Lens tour come about?
Well, when I started taking pictures as a musician who picked up a camera by accident, I did so to have slideshows with my friends. Accidentally, I was shooting slide film, my first roll of film, and I thought, well, let's have a slideshow. And it was so amazing to see the pictures on the wall that I continued to take photos just so I could have slideshows with all of my hippie friends. And then my hippie friends became famous. And so I kind of, you know, it was a good accidental thing for me. So now years later, 50 years later, exactly this year, we're doing the same thing, bringing out on the road. And my partner, Peter Blatchley, had always said, you know, Henry, you and Patty ought to have a slideshow together, you know, because you each represent sort of, you know, hands across the water kind of thing. And it works out perfectly. I mean, I talk about all the images in Laurel Canyon during the heyday of the singer-songwriter, that sort of renaissance period of the late 60s, early 70s. And then Patty can tell the stories of the Beatles and Eric Clapton and that whole London scene that was going on at the same time.
This was actually the second go-round for the Behind the Lens tour. Were you surprised that the reaction was so enthusiastic?
Yeah, very surprised. I mean, you know, I think it's a lovely concept because otherwise, you know, people can go to a gallery and look at photographs statically on the walls and then that's it. But now when they come to see this show, they can hear what the stories behind the photographs. And, you know, it goes down really well. People thoroughly enjoy it.
And I think partly because, you know, this is kind of the soundtrack of all of our lives. I mean, the people whose photos I show are all my musical heroes. And I think this is the same for the audience, really, you know, judging by the reaction.
And they've been pretty much sold out. All of the dates have just...
It has.
I hope so.
Yes.
That's good.
It has. We've gotten standing ovations, which is very energetic.
Not difficult to believe at all. And I understand you mix it up every night, so it's never really the same show from city to city.
Well, I think that's because we don't have scripts. We look at the photographs when they appear on the screen, and sometimes I think of a completely different story from the one I told the night before. So for each show is different, really. Not hugely different, but just because of, you know, what comes to mind.
We kind of make it up as we go along, and so... Yeah. So it is a bit different as we go along.
I love the spirit of that. I love that. And Patty, you've been both in front of the camera and behind it. And what are the things that get your creative juices flowing?
If I see something, just an image, or even light playing on a subject, you know, then I have to have my camera and capture it. It's really about light, you know, and just seeing one big scene and I can focus in on something that is maybe quite small in comparison. And because the light's playing a certain way on it, that's what I want to capture.
And you learned your photography basics from David Bailey.
Well, I mean, Bailey and many other photographers that I was working with, I just wanted to know what they were looking at. And what he taught me really was framing, you know, to see an image and how to frame it, and the light, of course, which is so important.
And you had a whole treasure trove of photographs in your private collection for years, but it wasn't until, was it 2005 or 2006, that you had your first gallery show?
Yes, because somebody asked me if I, they said, oh, you must have so many amazing photographs. And I said, oh, I don't think so. I haven't looked for years. I've probably got three. And I thought that's all I had. And then we started looking through the boxes and envelopes. And one envelope I opened, and I'd written on the outside, Gary Brooker in Poland. Anyway, I opened up Gary Brooker. Gary wasn't there at all. It was the Beatles in India. And so, you know, it was sort of Pandora's box, opening it and finding all these photographs. And so my first exhibition was in San Francisco. And I was very nervous about this because I didn't really know how I felt about myself and showing my photographs that could have seemed a little sort of intimate, and maybe I was being a bit too bold, which is so against my nature. So I was quite torn doing this first exhibition. However, it was received so well that it then inspired me to write my book.
Was that the show at the San Francisco Art Exchange?
Yeah, yes.
On Valentine's Day.
Yes, exactly.
I was there.
Yes. Were you?
I remember that. You had a bottle of Viv Clicquot over in the corner.
My gosh, you know, and they were so sweet to me because they knew I was feeling shy and nervous, and I was upstairs and the gallery filled up with people. And then Theron, the owner, said to me, I think you can go down now. And there was this huge, huge man standing next to me wearing a suit, and tucked into his right hand sleeve must have been a microphone, because he held up his hand and he said, Miss Boyd is coming down now. And I thought, oh, that's me. God, this is exciting.
Oh, my God.
So, and then I just walked down the stairs and, you know, and it was the most extraordinary thing to be in a gallery with two rooms full of photographs I intimately knew. There's something really breathtaking about that.
And some of the photographs, I love the one of you and George in the garden,
mm-hmm.
and the more meditative photos of, you know, George and Eric. And one of my favorite photos on the wall was the one that you took of Anita Pollenberg and Marianne Faithfull.
Oh, you've seen that.
Yes.
I call that the girls.
The muses. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I took that when we went to go and see the Stones playing in a small venue in London. And, you know, it was really exciting. And then I saw them both sitting there chatting away and looking gorgeous, I thought. And I thought I'd just have to capture that because I, you know, I very rarely see the two of them together. So that was that. That was some time ago, 80s, I think.
Whoa.
Maybe early 90s.
Whoa.
Mm.
Henry, you were actually talking about starting out as a musician and how it was 50 years ago this year that you picked up the camera.
1966.
And you were on the road at the time?
I was on the road where the Modern Folk Quartet was a folk group. In those days, folk music was huge. And we spent almost 5 years going back and forth across the country doing college concerts mostly and folk clubs. And we had a motor home and we pulled up to a secondhand store in Michigan, all ran in there to spend a little bit of money on something we didn't need. And there was a table full of secondhand cameras. And one of the guys in the group said, oh, a camera, I'll have one of those. And I thought, well, why not? I'll have one too. Never thinking about it, you know.
What camera was it?
It was called a Pony.
Oh,
it's
how sweet.
I don't know what kind of camera it was, but it was kind of broken. It chewed up the sprockets. It didn't hurt the image, but it chewed up the sprockets on the bottom. But then, you know, and then one of the guys in the group said, pull into the next drugstore and I'll buy film for all of us, because we all bought them. And he handed me a little yellow box, you know, and I said, well, how do you fix these numbers on the camera? He said, well, look on the box. It says sunlight 250 at 8. I said, oh, all right, well, here's 250, here's 8. And that was my school, you know, the little yellow Kodak box. And then when we got back to L.A. at the end of the tour, we developed the film, and I was surprised to see little transparencies. I had no idea what kind of film it was. And I said, well, these are slides, and let's have a slideshow. And that was the moment that it really caught my attention, was to see these wonderful moments that we all shared shimmering on the wall, 8 feet wide, in color. I thought it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. I hadn't dabbled in photography. I mean, my family didn't, dad didn't show us slideshows. It was all new to me, and that was the start of it all.
How wonderful.
That is. There was this really great quote that I read from you, and you've probably been asked this 100 billion times about how you think of yourself as the Jane Goodall of photography. I love that.
Oh, my. I say that with trepidation because she's such a lovely lady. Oh, you know, I'm not equating myself with her at all, but the approach is similar. You know, she would sit there with a pad of paper and observe the chimps, but not want to interact, because then, of course, it would change their behavior. And so I say, well, that's kind of like what I do. I want to shoot photos of musicians doing what they do, whether it's backstage or in an airplane or whatever. I want to catch those real moments. I don't want to, mess it up and change it. And so it's more like an observer, a documentary photographer, a fly on the wall type of thing.
Photo sessions that were set up, did you ever have an artist who it took a while for them to come out of their shell with you?
Gosh, that's an interesting question. Mm. Not really, because I'm not necessarily trying to get them out of their shell, Right. I mean, I'm shooting, whatever is happening, that's what I'm photographing. I don't expect anything in particular. A lot of the musicians were animated enough, it always worked out. I've just never really had a problem because I'm not after anything specific. Yeah.
Compared to the other decades, the 60s were definitely more influential in terms of, music, art, and politics and the intersection of the three. I was wondering if both of you thought if there was anything that you feel our current times are better at reflecting or more lacking in.
Well, of course, now there are far more people than there were in the 60s. And I think we had more freedom then. I was just thinking the other day, I said to Henry, we didn't have to wear seatbelts then, And gradually restrictions have been put on us, for safety, health and safety, etc.
And there's so many photographers now that, you can only shoot three songs. I mean, right. When I photographed the Doors at the Hollywood Bowl in 68, I was the only photographer there. I mean, can you imagine if Jim Morrison was playing this week, how many there'd be?
Yes.
250 photographers.
Yes.
But the music, I feel like that was a flowering of singer-songwriters because it was a new thing. Frank Sinatra never wrote any songs. Elvis Presley never wrote any songs. You had the songwriters and the singers. And then after the Beatles and Bob Dylan began writing their own songs, for the most part, all the folk groups kind of went electric, first of all, because of the Beatles, and then started writing their own songs. There was a great quote by Jackson Browne in a documentary. He said, the first time I heard Bob Dylan, I thought, oh, I get it. It's kind of a pop song, but it's personal. Wow. And you think of Jackson Browne's songs. I mean, he's one of my favorite songwriters, amazing songs. And so that was a brand new sea change in the music industry. And then I feel like, it's been coasting since then. I mean, those same groups are still out touring. I mean, for the most part, Crosby, Stills, Nash, Jackson right. Browne, the Eagles up until recently.
Yeah.
But something is happening right now with the singer-songwriters. It's kind of coming full circle because, the record companies are now kind of, dinosaurs, really. And we have, YouTube and all the websites and the home recordings. You have your own computer. And so young kids are writing their own songs and recording them. And this Americana thing is coming out. And I think that's really great, really healthy. There's some really great singer-songwriters nowadays, suddenly. I was talking to a guy earlier today and saying, we haven't, you had Frank Sinatra and Elvis and then the Beatles and the 60s, 70s. But we haven't had a big major thing since, really. doing some little side things. I mean, there's always country music and hip hop. We've had punk and disco and, you know, but I'm kind of waiting for the next big thing. And maybe it is this Americana sort of homemade music.
Are there any other iconic photographs that you wish you'd taken that you've seen from other artists?
Oh, well, I'd like to have taken some of Patty Boyd's photos.
I would have liked to have been in Henry's shoes as well. Gosh, it's so funny.
I don't look at photos that way, really, you know. I mean, I love photos. I'm a magazine freak, you know. I'll go spend $100 at the magazine stand and buy all, you know, Vogue magazine, and then there's the photo magazines, and then there's the music magazines, Mojo, Uncut, those lovely English magazines. I don't look at them and think, gee, I wished I'd taken that, so much as I think, oh, that's just beautiful. And kind of, you know, it's inspirational. You don't want to copy it, you know, but...
just inspiration, it brings something...
It's a turn on. Yeah. And I'll tell you, if I spend a half an hour at a magazine stand in the afternoon, say on Hollywood Boulevard, and I'm looking at all these magazines, and then I turn around and there's Hollywood Boulevard, and I suddenly see 100 photos to take. You know, it gets your eye tuned and your mind tuned to it. And I'll walk out and start snapping pictures of everything I see, everybody passing by. It all looks like a great photo.
Yeah. And what are your favorite photographs that you've shot, and then each other's favorite? I mean, what are your favorites from each other?
Well, I love Henry's Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. I love them all sitting on the sofa. That is so great. That's a beautiful photograph. Mm. And the ones you took in the desert as well.
The eagles. Great.
Yeah,
and
eagles
America.
In the desert.
Oh, that Desperado
wonderful.
Shoot. Yeah.
Yes.
Love that.
Yes. Fantastic. Absolutely adore that.
Well, I love Patty's picture of she and George in the Rose Garden. That's a fantastic picture. And I love the pictures of Patty that George took. I mean, I think they're far better than the Vogue magazine covers and all that Patty was in. Just the beautiful, you know, just the beautiful kind of real photos,
simple,
the essence
they?
Of
yes.
Patty. I wish I'd have been George taking those.
What are your thoughts on the digital age?
Well, I mean, digital photography is so fast. And, you know, for magazines, it's great. And people who want a photograph immediately. There still is an amount of time in processing, as there used to be in the darkroom when we used film. And you can still spend a lot of time on the computer just rejigging a photograph. Not so that it looks unreal, but just to sort of, you know, things of how we would play in the darkroom, really. Mm-hmm.
Well, my feelings are, I miss film. I miss having the individual slides and the negatives and holding that and all. And we were saying today, there's something about, you know, you take 36 pictures and that's the end of the roll. And then you have to kind of change film. And it's a little punctuation that happens. But 10 years ago. Let's see, 05, no, is that 10 years ago? Yeah, 11 years ago, when I first started taking digital photos. Just before that, I was saying, I will never take digital. Film guy, you know, through and through. And then I would pick up my friend's camera, you know, like a big Canon, and I would say, wow, this sort of sets its own meter reading, and it focuses itself.
Yes.
My God, this is so, you know, kind of sort of easy, you know, and so... I finally went into the digital age. And there's a couple things that are really good about it. Number one, of course, you can see the photo right away, so you know if you've got it or not. Number two, you don't have to pay for film and processing. And you don't have to spend, you know, half a week getting not all done and running back and forth to the photo lab. And the third thing is the way that you disseminate the photo. So, I mean, if I photograph a group and they want the pictures, they can have them the same day. And I can give them a disc of all the pictures, and I can keep all those pictures as well. And back in, you know, when I was shooting slide film, there is no negative. That's the only thing, just that one slide. And so you would have to give that away to the record company or the group or whoever it was. And then you wouldn't have it. You know, and you try to keep a couple of them for yourself just to remember. Yeah. But now with digital, everyone can have the photos. And it's so quick to send them all over the world. I know first time I went to a concert and saw one of my fellow photographers with a little laptop, and he was photographing on stage and sending them off immediately to his agent, who would send them all over the world, and he'd be the first one to get those out in the world. And not that I ever did that, but I thought, that is crazy, amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and one other thing, I used to carry around a 40-pound camera bag with two cameras, one for black and white, one for color, five different lenses, a meter, you know, a spot meter, and I had a flash and batteries and film, and that all weighed quite a bit. Now I carry a little tiny pocket power shot, and I put a chip in there, and it'll take 2,000 or 3,000 pictures. And it also will shoot video with sound. You know, I had an old Super 8 camera that took 3 minutes of no sound movies back in the 60s and 70s. So to me, it's the most amazing machine ever. And I never leave home. It's always in my pocket, and it doesn't weigh 40 pounds. So, so there are a number of good things about what's happening in photography.
Well, Henry and Patty, thank you guys so much for coming by today to talk with me.
Pleasure.
Really
thank
looking
you, Jeannie.
Forward to the show tonight's 8 o'clock at the Kessler Behind the Lens. Henry Diltz and Patty Boyd.
Right.
See you then.
We hope to
definitely
see you all
see you there.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bye.